Happy Sabbath again. And will you please stand for me just a minute? Please stand. And turn to someone who is near you. Join hands with them, and just for a moment or two, well, maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, two to two, that you will pray with each other and ask for the Lord to be glorified here in this assembly this morning. And we all said, amen. You may be seated. We can never pray too much. And especially at this time in the history of the world, we all need prayer. But then we should also be praising the Lord, because God is good. And I'm sure that we could take a little time here this morning, and it is still morning. No, it isn't. But we could go around, and each one of us would have any number of things to praise God for. We are here. We are alive, and that's a blessing. We have home, and that's a blessing. We have food to eat, and that's a blessing. We have conveniences and comforts. We are a blessed people. And we need to be about praising God. Let's all say, praise God. Praise God. And sometimes it is just good to stand up in your home and say, praise the Lord. Somebody's passing by and they hear you saying, praise the Lord. That's all right. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you have poured out on us. We thank you that you denied yourself of your Son so that he could come to this earth as one of us and hang on a cruel cross and shed his blood so that our sins could be saved. And then, as prophecy had it, he lay in the grave, and then he arose, and he's now ministering for us. He sent to us his Holy Spirit, and we ask now for a double portion of his Spirit on each one of us, and especially for me, as I stand and let you use me as you would. And the praise and the glory will be yours. And it is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. There's one thing that is on the minds of most people these days, and that is all of the natural and unnatural events that are going on. You can hardly begin a conversation, regardless of how you started out, without eventually ending up talking about what is happening in the world. And sometimes what is happening just next door are some of our families being affected, as is Leslie's grandson in Mississippi, and others of you that I do not know about who are having problems in your home or difficulties, your family is having difficulties. You can't turn on the television or the radio or read the newspapers without seeing that something is going on. And we know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all wrote the instances of Jesus telling that before he comes again, that there would be signs, and we should be aware of those signs. And there is a particular way that we, as a church, specifically as an Adventist church, and more specifically as Aiken Seventh-day Adventist Church, should be responding when we see all of these things happening. We are told that there should be a loud cry that will go out just before Jesus comes. And we are told that there will be a latter rain experience, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out in abundance, and that we should go out and tell people that they should worship God. You know, Revelation 14, verses 6 through 12, which is known as what? Which is known as what? The three angels' messages. So we have a mission. We need to be giving a loud cry. But before we give that loud cry, there is something that needs to happen to us. We need to be revived and reformed. And there is a worldwide effort in the Seventh-day Adventist Church to revive and reform. But it all comes down to me and to you, because unless I and unless you are revived, and unless the Holy Spirit has been poured out in abundance on me and on you, the loud cry is not going to go up. Why? Because it is you and I that make up the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Where does revival begin? It begins with me. It begins with you. If I were to ask you a personal question, and it is a rhetorical question, asking you, do you feel ready and equipped to take this last day message to the world? What would your response be? It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to give me a response. But I need for each one of us to be thinking about, am I ready to do this? Have I surrendered and humbled myself before God and before His Son, Jesus Christ? Have I accepted the infilling of His Holy Spirit? Am I wearing His robe of righteousness? Am I a fit vessel to be used to carry his message? When I asked myself that question, there were some reservations, because I know that I believe, I know that I trust God, I know that I've humbled myself before him, but to be able in these last days to make sure that when I live and when I speak in front of people, that I am pleasing God, I have some reservations. There are means by which we can not be sure, but be more prepared than we are. And the World Church has made an effort to equip us in some way to be able to go out and represent our Lord Jesus Christ. We have, in recent days, through the ministry of our deacons, elders, and deaconesses, visited or talked to each member of the Aiken Seventh-day Adventist Church and delivered to them a copy, and I had it with me to bring to show you. It's on the seat back there because I forgot to bring it up with me. But you know, it is the book by Elder Mark Finley, Revive Us Again. And that book shows us some of the things that we need, we as individuals and as a church need to do in order to be able to take this last day message to a dying world. We wanted to find out what is going on in homes and how each member of Aiken Church feels about what is going on in the church. Are we as effective as a church as we should be? Are we doing here at home what we should be doing before we go out to do for somebody else? It is what we do at home that is going to be reflected when we go out. Is that true? As we raise or rear our children, as we relate to our mates at home, it's the same way that we are going to relate in the church. And that's the same way that we are going to relate when we go out into the world. And when they see how we are acting or know how we are acting at home, know how we are acting in church, they aren't going to be willing to listen to what we have to say when we go out there. So just for a few minutes this morning, I've asked representatives of the deacons, the elders, and the deaconesses who did go out, visit homes, who did speak to others here in the church and find out what they found out about what's going on in this church. How are we as a church? What kind of report card do we have? Are we a people dedicated to doing what God has put us here to do? Or do we find ourselves lacking? So I have asked, and Grant, are you speaking? Grant, Sandy, Leslie, and Carl, to make brief reports this morning of what they found when they went into the field. And then I'll have some closing remarks. And if time allows, may have some contributions or questions from you as to what you think we may need to do in order to be able to take this loud cry, take this three angels message to Aiken, because that's our territory right now, is Aiken, to spread this word that has been given to us. So that we will have enough time to do it, I'll grant you want to be first. And you may come up here because it's being recorded.
The most significant reaction that I got when I was in contact with some people was, I'll just give you one instance. There is a lady that has been in contact with us before. I don't believe I've ever met her, but she turns out to be deaf and quite blind. So the book would not be much of a benefit to her, but I got to talk to her caregiver, who was her son, and we had a very nice conversation. And he expressed an interest in the book. So in that way, we've reached another soul, and I just thought that that was a significant thing to talk about. I won't be long. That is pretty much it. We've had some good reactions to the book. The visits are always rewarding, but the fact that we're reaching someone else, even though the one we originally thought we would reach is sort of unreachable, here's the son who will gladly read the book.
Hayward and I went out as a team, and we had a very rough time finding anybody on our list, but we found one, and I'm so thankful, and she's sitting here today. We missed her a lot, and I hope she is getting a lot out of that book. I haven't got past the first chapter. I keep reading over and over and over on the first chapter. And I went to Nadia and gave her one. I am hoping that she will come back to church also. She said they would be back. And Rita, I am very happy that you are here at church. I missed you so much while you were gone, and don't want you to leave again. But everybody needs to read that book. It is awesome. Thank you.
I visited one family that I haven't seen in a long time at this church. They're still members. I just decided to go to their house and knock on the door. And she was there, the lady was there, and the husband was not. He was busy. And so anyway, we had a long talk. It all occurred right there at the doorway. She was on her way out, and she was expressing interest in coming back to the church. She was asking about people that she remembers when she was coming here. And she was asking about the youth, which I said there wasn't a whole lot of youth here right now. And she was interested in VBS and some of the things that were going on in our church and the building program, and I explained all those things. And so she said she would be very interested in trying to make an attempt to come back. But having been away so long, she found it was difficult to make that first step to come back. I invited her, gave her the book.
Well, I'm like Sandy. I did read the first chapter, and I'm in the second one now. But it is very good. And the little test, or whatever you want to call it, at the end of the chapter is really great. I like the way they put the things together. And the person I was really able to talk to is my son. Oh, he is a member of this church. He hasn't been in, I don't know how long it's been. But I asked him, I said, Robert, what do you think about our church? He at first thought I meant the new one. I said, no, I mean right now. He said, I believe that's some of the finest people I've ever met. And then I said, well, do you think there's anything wrong and should be some changes? He said, more younger people. He said, I know that no one's to blame, but some younger people. I said, well, that's what we hope for too. And he started reading the book. Now, how much he read, I don't know. So keep him in your prayers that maybe this book will wake him up and that he'll decide to come back. Because, you know, I took him to Sabbath school all of his life and to church. And when he got old enough to do his thing, he just left. So keep him in your prayers. I believe one day he'll be back. I have to believe that. And I keep praying myself for all my children for various reasons. But just keep Robert in your prayers. Hopefully he'll come right on back.
How many of you have received a copy of Revive Us Again? Is there anyone here who has not gotten a copy? Della, did you get it? You got it? Okay. All right. You need to communicate that. Is there anyone else who has not gotten a copy? All right, if you can share it, okay. No, we do not have any here. We are, who's she? Betsy, all right. Have you not, Jillian, have you not heard about this? And you have not. It is worldwide, and the books are coming from the General Conference. So you need to speak to your pastor or to your head elder and find out what's going on, because everyone in your church should be getting a copy of Mark Finley's Revive Us Again. And there is also a True Revival by Sister White. These are not being given by the General Conference, but it is suggested that we read those also. All right. Now, for us who are here and did not get, who had the books just handed to you here and did not get the honor of having an elder, a deaconess, or a deacon to come visit you, are there some concerns that you have about Aiken Church, about the unity that we have, about the general attitude, atmosphere, something that you see that would keep us from going out and doing the work that we are supposed to do? We are family, so we can say what we are feeling without thinking that somebody's feelings are going to be hurt. Yes, Connie.
It's
I am going to repeat what you said for the sake of... All right. One of the items of discussion is that we need to be more accepting of people for who they are. Jesus did not discriminate. Whomever it was, he was there to give whatever was needed without pointing a finger. Of course, there will be some counsel, but it was acceptance. And that's what we want, right? Each one of us, we want to be accepted for who we are. And if there is something that can be done to help us be better, then we want that. So I think each one of us should be very, very careful about. And sometimes it's not always what we say. It might be how we say what we say. And it might be sometimes a look. So we have to be careful about that. Thank you, Connie. Anyone else? And that's one of the problems that we have as Adventists, because most of the time when one becomes an Adventist, then one's friends are Adventists. We are prone to shut ourselves away from other people. But by all means, sister, visit your Catholic friends.
She just don't want to forget them. She wants to share.
Yes.
And share what she learned.
It's exactly what we are supposed to be doing. Because once we have it, we are to pass it on. That's what it's all about, is to pass that love on, to pass that understanding on. That's what this loud cry is going to be about, is telling others what the Lord has given to you. And how else can you tell them except you befriend them, except you become close to them, and then they trust that they see that love that you have for them, and they want that kind of love. Yes, Betsy. And that's one of the things that we should know. But if we don't, as we read Revive Us Again, we are encouraged to let the Holy Spirit indwell us,
to be able, without thinking I'm a Seventh-day Adventist and I have to act this way. It is natural. You are showing Jesus. And they do see a difference in who you are. That is what we need, where we need to get to, that people see Jesus in us. And they are asking us, what happened to you? Because I have people who walk up to me that I knew then, and they want to know, what happened to you? And the door is open to be able to tell Jesus happened. Yes, Grant. It's too all about being totally surrendered to God. And you ask me, how do I get totally surrendered to God? I can't answer that. It is just do it. Give your whole self to Jesus. We want something of the world. We put ourselves into it and do everything that we possibly can to get it. So we want Jesus. We have to put ourselves into it and say, all right, Lord, here I am. Use me. And I see hands. I see Rita's hand. I see Betsy's hand. And I see Sandy's hand in that order. And a little louder so everyone can hear. Betsy.
I have a grandmother who said that. few kids in Dodge, and each Christian struggling with those two things, but yet if anybody were looking on me in the outside world, or even the people that might be in the church, like, they might say, what kind of Christian is that? I said to myself, and that, and then when I realized what sanctification actually was, I'm just at a different level of conviction. And when she reaches that point, that she really wants, she'll give, she'll surrender. But we're all sinners. All of us. We all have secret sins or whatever, and none of us are perfect. And one sin is many words, it's not people than any of us. We all have an exceeding
conviction. And it is all about that total surrender to begin with, and then keep walking as the Holy Spirit leads. And if anything, we have to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. We have to be willing for that latter rain experience. What did the disciples and the apostles do when Jesus told them that they should wait for the outpouring of the Spirit? They prayed. They prayed by themselves. They prayed together. They prayed in church. They prayed at home. They prayed. They prayed and asked for the outpouring of that early rain experience. And you know what happened. It poured out on them. But you know what? If we read Joel 2, let me read it for you. Get your Bibles, please. Joel 2, after Hosea, after Daniel, after Ezekiel. And I'm telling you where it is, and I'm going even though I had it marked in my book. Peter preached after the Holy Spirit fell on them at Pentecost. And basically he started preaching from Joel 2. Turn with me to Joel 2:28. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, this is where we need to be getting if we are going to be giving this loud cry, if we are going to be taking this message to the world. And also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, turn with me to Acts 2. Where Peter acknowledges that he is repeating the prophecy in Joel. And we are reading beginning with 16 in chapter 2. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now go back and look at verse 29 of Joel 2, and then look at verse 18 of Acts 2 and see if there is a difference. Anybody see a difference? In the King James, there is a little word in Acts 2 verse 18 that is not in the little word is of. Peter says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. In Joel, it is my spirit. There is a difference in part of the spirit and all of the spirit. In these last days, when Jesus returns, it is going to be all of his spirit, not of his spirit. When it was poured out at Pentecost, it was just a portion of God's spirit. And you know what happened as a result. On that one day, 3,000 people were brought to Jesus. What's going to happen with the latter rain experience when all of God's Spirit is poured out on his people and we are all testifying, we are all going out and taking this message? How many people in a day will be transformed? That church that we are planning to build over on Highway 1 is not going to be able to hold them when we are filled with God's Spirit and go out under his umbrella. I'm excited about what can happen with the... And how many people on the church roll, Aunt Alice? 94. I'm excited about what can happen with 94 people, but not 94 people, because on an average it's 35 that attend. What can happen? How many people were in that little group that Peter had? If you go back and count them, I think you find maybe 27. That met daily in the upper room. We are 45. If the Spirit is poured out on us 45, what can it multiply to become? The question now is, what do we need to do so that Jesus can come? Because this has to happen before Jesus comes. If you read Revelation 14, beginning with 6, then go through to Revelation 14, when this loud cry goes out, at the end, Jesus comes. So it is up to us to receive that latter rain experience. Go and do as he says do so that he can come. How many of you are ready for Jesus to come? No question about it, right?
I hope so.
need to talk to ask yourself this question this morning. What can I do to hasten Jesus' soon coming? First thing that we do is to pray. The second thing that we need to do is to pray. The third thing that we need to do is to pray. You see where I'm going? Pray where? Pray at home. Start at home. Go in your closet and pray. And sometimes it is a literal closet. We had a church member here who in his home had a walk-in closet, and he had literally made that his prayer room. So go into your closet, wherever that special place is that you commune with God. Go there and pray. And sometimes it will get vocal. I don't know about you, but sometimes if somebody's walking by my house, they would wonder what's going on in there. Cry out to him, especially when the devil is. And this might not happen to you. You might not have the devil attacking you. But when he is attacking, then we need to be praying that much more. Then pray in groups. And we have established a group here to pray after Bible study on Wednesdays. Anyone is invited. But we need more than this one group. We need family groups. We need each other going into others' homes and visiting. Carl, I don't mind your coming to visit me. Okay? And I would hope that you wouldn't mind my calling you and saying, I'm coming by, especially now that I can drive myself and you can help me into your home. Help me get up the steps. Yes, Sandy. One. That's where I'm getting. We have to be as one. The first thing that we have to do is to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere. The next thing that we have to do is to get ourselves together, to be unified, to be as one, be on one page, visiting each other, doing for each other as the Lord has given us gifts, talents, and resources to do. And then, as the Holy Spirit speaks, don't quench the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the Holy Spirit tells you to do this. You know, don't you?
But when the Holy Spirit says go, go. Even if you don't think that you are able to do whatever it is, He will supply the need. All it is trust. Read Revive Us Again. Those in here in Aiken Church who received True Revival by Ellen White, read that. If there is anything that is between you and someone else in this church, take care of it. I invite you, whoever you are, if there is anything that I have said, done, you feel that I've said or done, please speak to me today. Don't put it off. Let there be nothing between. Please. And each of you do that to each other. We have to be one. Jesus is coming. And I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when He comes. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. But most of all, we thank You for Your love, the love that You have shown us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask right now for an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit as the latter rain to fall on us. Revive us, please. Reform us, so that we can be about the business of doing Your work, of taking this last day message to a sick and dying world, so that You can come, Jesus, and we can spend an eternity with You. I know that You love us, and we need to be showing our love to You by loving each other. Help us, please, to love You with all our heart, our soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And as we go from this place, please let us go with a new heart and a new ambition, and that is of being led by You to do the work that You have put on each of our hearts to do. And the praise and the glory will go to You. And we pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. And as we stand, please, let's just hug our neighbors and say, I love you. And then we will sing the closing song.